I want to urge you to stop judging me, especially. Judging comes rather naturally to us. Maybe that's the problem. It's a natural thing that we ought to be acting supernaturally, being formed into the image of Christ. Jesus said this in Luke 6:37, "Judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and ye shall be forgiven." The world has taken this and said, "See, you're not supposed to say anything's bad." This is not what he's talking about. He goes through and names a number of things that are really bad. That's not judging. That's discerning. That's looking at the world through the eyes of God. This is talking about your relationship to one another. Don't be the person who's always saying, "You're wrong, I'm right." You know, I'm not arguing, I'm just explaining why I'm right. He says, when you are a judgmental person, then you invite this to yourself. When you are a condemning person, you invite that to yourself. If you're a forgiving person, you invite that. Here's the problem with this thing of judging. Judging is pretending to be like God, to have the ability to see what's inside a man's heart. This is never true. You can see what they do, you can discern their fruits, but you don't know why. Samuel said this to Saul, 1 Samuel 16:7, "But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his," Saul's, "countenance." He was tall, good-looking guy. He was Mr. Athlete of the Year guy, you know. What a king he made. "Look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature." He was head and shoulders taller than everybody else. "Because I have refused him." He said this is the end of his kingdom. "For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance." Literally, this is the eyes. This is where you look at the person's face, you look at their eyes, and maybe you're impressed with that face. But the Lord looketh on the heart. And this isn't condemning us for looking on the outside, because that's all we can do. We just have to recognize that all we can see is the outside. It's God that looks on the inside. And we find in the scripture that we are not even to judge ourselves. That's not your role. That's not your position. The apostle says, 1 Corinthians 4:3, "But with me it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you, or of man's judgment." And this is the word for day, meaning the day of judgment, the day of reckoning. "Yea, I judge not mine own self." This brings up that interesting, what do you think of yourself, and who cares, and what does that mean? It really means nothing. You probably think you're fine, or maybe you think you're overly wrong, but your opinion is not absolutely important. It affects how you think, but you don't know who, what, how you're doing, you see. You can only judge that by God. So, above all, stop comparing yourself with other people. This produces feelings of either pride or inferiority. I'm better than they are, no, I don't rank up with them. Or sometimes even a strange mixture of both. I like this about that person, and I'm not that good, but I'm better than him and something else. Strange mixture. God leads each of his children along a path that is unique. We misuse the word unique. People saying, "Boy, that's very unique." How unique? Unique means one of a kind. You can't be very one of a kind. It's just one of a kind or not. The point of this is that you are not able to understand everything about the other person. He's not leading you the same way. So comparing is not only wrong, it's just meaningless. You compare yourself to others, you compare others to yourself, but this is even worse than apples to oranges, you see. This is, the orange is all proud that he's the orangest of all these things, but he's comparing himself to apples, you know. And maybe the apple is thinking, well, yeah, you're orange, you should be red or green or whatever apples are. So it's just meaningless. Paul talks about this, 2 Corinthians 10:12. For we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves. But they, measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves, are not wise. The King James margin here says, they understand it not. They have made this comparison, but it's meaningless. So, don't look for affirmation in the wrong place. Don't look to the wrong place to find some reason to be happy with yourself. Both your own evaluations of yourself and those of others are meaningless. How you think about yourself, that doesn't rank up there with reality. The only source of real affirmation is God's unconditional love. Who are you? Well, the answer to that is, who does God say you are? Understand this, that God is not angrily searching out your faults and failures. He's not unhappy that you're not perfect. He knows that. That's the way you were born. Now, if you're saved, you should be growing out of this, and he's trying to find all the areas in your life where you can test these things, prove these things, and improve. But he's not disgusted with your faults and failures. When he disciplines you, it's never in anger or disgust. He's not saying you are disgusting, I've got to just swat you. He has a very specific purpose for the discipline. It is to prepare you for fellowship with him throughout all eternity. We are the adopted children who were in a horrible shape when he adopted us. And now we are to be conformed into the image of his true son, Jesus. And we are to look like him. We're to be formed into his image. We need to look more like the natural child. Proverbs 3:11 and 12. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. Why? Because the motive behind it is love. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. The father that delights in his son doesn't want him to go off on his own and be basically worthless. Stop judging, pretending that you're on a level where you can see how people are. Just stop this. Don't say, I can judge myself and I'm fine, and I judge you and you're bad. Don't get into that. That's the wrong way of thinking. Immerse yourself in Christ's loving presence. When you ask how you are doing, the thing is, am I accepted by God? Am I loved by God? There is the affirmation. There is the comfort of life that you are worthwhile, right there. Listen to his affirmation of love that flows continually from him through his word, through his spirit. Listen to Isaiah 61:10. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God. And what reason do you have to be joyful? For he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decketh, and this is literally decketh as a priest, himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with the jewels. The priest was known for being decorated with jewels, and that's what he's talking about here. And familiar passage, John 3, 16 and 17, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. The world was already condemned. He didn't need God coming in and condemning the world. The world started off after Adam and Eve sinned. The world was condemned. All the children of Adam and Eve were condemned. So then what makes the difference? Well, Ephesians 1:6, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. He loves us as he loves his Son. When will he change his mind about Jesus? When will he kick Jesus out? It's not going to happen. Neither will it be with you, because you are accepted in the beloved. So there's a pettiness about judging. There's a pride about judging. Let's just take our hands off of that. Leave it alone.